Our Bibles and open to Jonah chapter 1. And this morning we're going to look at the third part of that, the command that God gave to Jonah when the word of the Lord came unto him. All three of these parts go together that we've looked at and we'll look at today, and hopefully it will be something that we can take from here today and use as Christians, as children of God, to help bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world around us. And so let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Dear Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for each person here today. And Lord, thank you for the privilege, the freedom, the wonderful joy to be able to assemble. Lord, we know there are many of our brothers and sisters around this globe today who had to do it in secret and could not enjoy to be able to sing out at the top of their lungs in praises to you. Lord, that to have to be very careful in how they give out your word, Lord, and some doing it with just so much desire they don't care what happens to them, Lord. And we have so much freedom so that we enjoy. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to use them. Pray you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, through your word. And through the man that you had spoken to all these many years ago that we are still learning from so many things even today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jonah, chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to read that and then we'll do a quick recap and dive into today. Arise, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So there are three parts to the command that God gave to Jonah. Number one, we talked about a couple weeks ago, arise. It's time to get up, Christians, and to be prepared to do something for God. Go! You know, a lot of people are waiting, and they never go. They never go to do what God has called them to do. They never go, which is, at the very basic level, is telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world. This is our part of the world. Wherever you may live, wherever you may work, let's go to school, even family that you have, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we are to go and bring them the gospel. And the third part, the one we're looking at today, cry against it. See, without crying, arising and going isn't really accomplishing anything. Let's go to see this in 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Now, there's many parts to this word of cry. We think of it in our modern usage would be to shed tears. And in the Bible times, it would be to lift the voice, to have some enthusiasm, some type of passion, no matter which way we use the word cry, it involves passion. If we're crying out to somebody or crying out a message or crying out in pain, it's something rooted in passion. And there's a suggestion that our voices are being lifted up. We're not going and saying, I was wondering if I could talk to you about that. No, there's a sense of urgency, a sense of passion, a desire that we lift up our voices to God. And that's where the word cry. We can look at it in either way. We're going to focus this morning on that giving out of a message. But look here at 2 Samuel 18 first to see how important it is. Yes, it's good to arise, it's good to go, but if you have nothing to cry out about, we see here that, verse 21, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai, this is after Absalom had died, Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But however, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. So he overtook him and he got there and he basically had nothing to say. All that effort, all that passion, arising, going, and no message to give. So as Christians, we need to have a message to bring, something we can cry out to the people around us. It's not enough to arise and get up. It's not enough to go. We need to cry out. Let's go back here to see. First let's go, as long as we're already back in this section of the Old Testament, let's go to Genesis chapter 18 before we go back to Jonah. There are two parts to this cry. When cry is mentioned about wickedness in the Bible, this is the first time it's used. And it tells us something about the cry of the wickedness, as God told Jonah that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before him. And in Genesis 18, verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Their cry has been made to God. It's been lifted up and coming before God of something being wrong. First thing we notice that, now we go back to Jonah 1 and we'll see how it is there. Jonah 1. It's funny, as we go through this more and more, like to this day, I flip open the Bible, more often than not, it will land someplace in Nehemiah. So the more we frequent Jonah, the more it'll just flip back there when we're going back there. But look at verse 2 again. "Cry against it. Why? For their wickedness has come up before me." The cry of wickedness comes up to God. And he sees and he hears this cry of wickedness. Now, the funny thing is, the people don't know they're crying out about wickedness, or that the cry of wickedness is so great. They think they're having the time of their life. You know what? In our country today, there is a cry of wickedness that is likely making itself up to God. I mean, if you don't believe that, then you have to just explore just a tiny little bit. Go to downtown Rochester. Go to any major city in America today. You will see wickedness on full on display. The things that used to be things that people would be embarrassed about or ashamed about to bring into public are now on full on display. A once great nation has continued to crumble in wickedness, and that cry is going up to God. They might think they're having the time of their life. They might think they're enjoying freedom and personal expression and all these things, but to God it's a cry of wickedness. So first off, in our two parts of looking at this, the cry goes up to God of the wickedness. But now, because of that, it says in verse 2, "and cry against it." God is giving Jonah something to cry against the people with. The cry of the wickedness goes up to God, and then we have a cry that comes from God that we need to put out. And here's an amazing thing. There's so many things in the book of Jonah as we go through it. We're familiar with the book, but as we spend time and study and go through different parts of it and focus, it helps bring some things to life. He's telling him to cry. Why didn't God just have an angel go and cry against it? I mean, you think, okay, you're losing something of passion when you go from God Almighty to a man. Right? I mean, if God wants them to hear something, why didn't God just appear from heaven and say, 40 days and you're going to be destroyed, to make sure no passion gets lost in the cry? But God chooses to use us to do this. And the shame of it is, we sometimes, in that transference of that power of the cry, we lose some of that power. We lose some of that urgency, some of that passion. And when we go to cry out to somebody to tell them about the message of Jesus Christ, it kind of doesn't really have that same type of passion that cry did coming from God. How badly are we wanting people to know about the gift of eternal life? Is it something we share with passion, or, you know, this is an option, take it, not whatever. I mean, it is up to every individual person to decide if they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the way God had planned it. That's the way it is. But that doesn't mean that we should stop being a little bit passionate in our crying out to people. I remember my grandfather, I might have been 8 or 9, and he told my parents, he said, he was this quiet, reserved kind of guy. But when he said things, sometimes, you know, there's a little thing. Okay, if you've ever experienced any of my dad's sarcasm sometimes, it came from my grandfather a little bit, okay? So he says to my parents one day after we went to the hardware store, he goes, "Yeah, your son thinks he knows more about religion than I do, I guess, huh? Kind of like, what are you teaching this kid that he thinks? But you know what? I would tell my grandfather again and again, with the plea being, I want to be in heaven with you someday. It was passionate to me because I could not stand the thought of my grandfather, a man who I loved and cherished and looked up to, burning in the fires of hell. And so, even as a young boy, that was a cry out from God, through me, to my grandfather. Grandpa, could you please trust Jesus to save you? I don't want you to go to hell. And he'd tell my parents, your son, you know, it's always, it's not my grandson or Charles, it's your son. He thinks I'm going to go to hell. And just let that hang to see if mom and dad jump on and be like, well, you know. And they would use that opportunity to try to take that even further. But you know what? I was passionate with him about it. It was a cry from my soul because I did not want him to go to eternity in the lake of fire. So the cry goes up to God from the wickedness that he observes. And the cry comes out from God for us to give a message to the lost and dying world around us. Look at Luke chapter 19. We are blessed with a wonderful message that we have to share, that we are able to cry out about. So I know it's hard sometimes with words that we have a different definition for today. So just think of cry as a passionate plea in our thinking today about it. You know, everybody's passionate about something. I mean, you might say I'm a little passionate about pizza, maybe. A little bit. I enjoy it. But I'm not going to go cry out about it. I'm not going to cry about it, tears, and I'm not going to get all, whoo, this is great. I got to tell. No, it's not something I'm passionate about. But we all have different passions. People have passions, and they don't mind people hearing them cry out about those passions. And you know what happens? Passion is infectious. When somebody starts getting... My son and I, we went down to Florida yesterday to watch, to see the U.S. Olympic marathoners try out to see who was going to go to Paris for the Olympics this year. And we were situated, we got to see them a number of times, and we were situated at mile 26, so it was just another 400 meters until the finish line. And there were thousands of people lining the streets. And you know what happened is that these last two guys, the two guys that were going to win, they're coming down our stretch. All of a sudden, there starts to be a cry. USA! You! Starts a couple people, 10 people, 20 people, hundreds of people chanting out in their passion for America as they saw the representatives that will go to the Olympics cross by us. You know what? Starts with one. America, America. And it gets picked up and more start crying out because they are enveloped in the passion of another. That's one of the reasons it's a great thing for us to be able to share testimonies of giving the gospel out. We want to help others and we want to become more passionate about it. We want others to get more passionate about it. And we tell people, you know what? It's such a blessing to go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And when we hear, and that's missions conference, hearing from people who are going to another part of this world to cry out against the sin through Jesus Christ and how redemption is there through Jesus Christ for their sins. It's passion. You hear them get passionate about it. They're excited to go to where God has called them to be and cry out about it. And if you are at all interested in that, when missions conference is going on, it should stir something in you to where you start getting a little bit of the passion that they have and be like, you know what? I'm going to go tell somebody tomorrow about Jesus. That's why we typically will have some type of outreach or something during the missions conference as well, to give ourselves an outlet to be able to go tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to cry out because there's a passion. It gets contagious. It moves around and we get to all share in that. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 37. First thing we're going to see in this message that we have to bring We have a message because the need is great. In Luke 19, verse 37, it says, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." The Pharisees never liked Jesus to begin with, but now they're hearing him be glorified by his disciples. Could you please tell them to stop that? We don't do that. We don't glorify other people. And look what Jesus said. "And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." The message of salvation is great. The message that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he came down from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. It's a great message. And it's one that we need to be crying out. Jesus said, if I tell them to stop, it's not going to stop it, because all of nature is going to sing out about the great redemption story from Jesus Christ. It is a great message, one worthy to be passionately given out. One to be excited to tell somebody else about. It's a great, great message. Let's look at another thing, Matthew chapter 9. The need is great. It needs to be shouted out. It needs to be given out to those all around us. And in Nineveh, the need was great. The sin was terrible and wicked, and the need was very great. In Matthew 9, verse 37... Jesus said, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The need is great. Jesus himself saying, this passage always gets a little smile on my face, because Jesus is telling the disciples, pray to me that I would send forth laborers into the harvest. What's the Bible say? The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, right? But you know what happens as we start to pray about something like that? It starts to become a little more real and personal to us. We start to pray, God, could you please send somebody to tell these people about you? And we pray about it again and again and again. And by God's design, eventually it starts to become something of a passion for us. And God says, hey, how about you? How about you go to, you know, we might, Lord, I'm working with this coworker. Could you please have somebody go tell them about, you know, how about you? The need is great. Somebody needs to go and cry out. God chose Jonah to do it to Nineveh. God wants to use each one of us in different parts of our lives, in different people whose lives we are a part of. Look at Romans chapter 10. So first we need to arise, go and cry, because the need is great. Second, we need to arise, go and cry, because the message is great. Romans 10:14. It's deserving to be shared and to be passionately given out. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The message is great. It's a message that will change lives and hearts. A message, the only message that can do that in the world. You know, there are people that try to sell all kinds of programs to make a better you. There's only one thing that will make you a new creature. And that's the story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a great message that needs to be shared out. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 58. Flipping around the Word of God a little bit this morning. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. The Bible says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins." God's looking for people who are not ashamed to lift up their voices and tell somebody, "You and I, we have a problem. We have sinned." And that sin offends God, the most holy God. And because of that sin, we cannot enter into heaven. But Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came down to earth. And He died on the cross for our sins. Not His. He never did any. He took our sins upon Him so that we can go to Him by faith and ask Him to save us from our sins. Turning away from that, all the attempts we try to do on our own. I can't work my way to heaven. There's nothing I can do that would ever wash away my sin, because only the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have this message. God says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Make sure it's heard. If somebody comes up to me, how many people, hopefully it's old enough now that it's not as big as it used to be. How many people remember Amway? Okay. Is it still a thing? Is it? Still a thing. Okay. Now, if you've ever met somebody who's really into Amway, they are very passionate about it. I have a relative that's like that. It was like that. I didn't know how much stuff Amway makes until you go to their house and he's pointing out everything that he bought from Amway. They make a ton of stuff, or at least sell a ton. Amway batteries. Didn't know that was a thing. But he's got Amway hair products. He didn't really have a lot of hair, but he's got all these different Amway products. And you know what? Couldn't stop talking about how great it was. Well, I'm my dad's son. You know how many Amway products my dad and I bought from his brother? No. But it wasn't because he wasn't passionate about it. He loved to talk about it. When somebody's passionate about something, and so you walk in the house, there's Amway everything. If somebody were to walk into your life, are they seeing Jesus all over it? Are you not able to refrain yourself from telling somebody about how good God is? Because if you're passionate about something, people will know that. We want people to know we are passionate about Jesus Christ. We need to be crying that out because of how great of a message that is. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. We talked on Wednesday about the need to go and the need to prepare for going. And that need connects with the need to cry out. Matthew 25, we're going to look at verse 1. And then we'll skip ahead a little bit here just to get the context. This is the parable that Jesus gave. It says in verse 1 of Matthew 25, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now skip down to we'll keep reading. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We need to prepare so that when God says go, we're ready. We have our oil, if you will, ready to go out and passionately share that. These five foolish ones, they weren't very passionate about being ready for when the bridegroom came. It's like, well, you know, maybe it'll be daytime, we won't need the lamps. Whatever the thing was, they were not passionate about it. And so when the time came for the go, they failed. We need to be passionate about what we do with the message of Jesus Christ so that when God says, "Hey, I want you to go tell that person," we're ready to cry out and share the good news of Jesus with them. Let's look at Judges chapter 7, a good example of this pent-up, this pent-up desire to go, to cry out. Judges chapter 7, we have verse 17, we have the story of Gideon. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what? These are warriors. These are people. They want to fight. They're the 300 that are left from how God called them down to just 300. And now Gideon gives them a sword and a pitcher and says, basically, hold. Hold, boys. Hold on, hold on, hold on. And then he says, now. And you know what? Look at that next verse. It says in verse number 19, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came out unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. Look at the end of verse 20. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what? They were like almost pent up, waiting. Okay, guys, we're going to get in position. We're going to be ready. Almost, I've never been a dog. Do we have any dog trainers? See some dogs sometimes will be like, you know, they tempt those poor little creatures. They put the treat right on the edge of their nose. Hold. Hold. They're just waiting. Why? Because they know that time is going to come when they get to enjoy. As Christians, we are ready. We are preparing to go to tell people about the Lord. Hold. Hold. And God says, all right, go tell that person. We should be so filled with the excitement to share the good news of Jesus Christ that we are ready to cry it out like they did. The sword of the Lord. I don't think it was. I mean, when you read through the Bible, it's really helpful sometimes to kind of think about what was going on like that. You read through, it's not the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They're out there in the middle of the night. The new watch comes out. They're getting excited. And all of a sudden, drop those things, fire everywhere. They blow the trumpets and the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They cried it out. They were excited about it. They're excited about what was about to happen. And their passion, they didn't care to be ashamed of it. They're going against monster armies. And yet still they cried it out. As Christians, are we so excited to share the good news of Jesus? Or do we get kind of, never mind, I'll talk to you about it next time. And I'll tell you, this is personal experience. The longer you wait with people that you know, the harder it becomes. I remember one time I was working with these guys and I thought, you know what, let me get to the point where they see that I'm a good guy. And so they don't look at me like some weirdo. So I'll just like show them how good I am and normal. And then I'll tell them. Well, one guy beat me to it one day when he said, hey, do you guys know anything about Jesus' gospel or something? Somebody was talking to me about that at work. Like, yeah, actually. And he's like, oh, did you just find out about that or something like that? I was like, stabbed in the heart to think, here I am just tearing and not passionate enough to share. Now, I'm not saying from day one, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now, but they need to at least know that you know about the good news of Jesus Christ. That became something I did with everybody I worked with from then after. We'd have a meeting. We'd be sitting around afterwards talking for a couple minutes about just life if we're getting to know each other. And at some point in that conversation, I'm going to tell them, you know what? Yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. I trusted the Lord as my Savior. Some variation early on. You know why? Now they know, and also helps me to be a better testimony because now they know, right? But it's also because I was passionate about it. I wanted them to know. And now I can show that I'm a good guy and then share a little bit as we go. And so it's not like something I've just been hiding all this time. Let's look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6 and verse 15. This is when they are at Jericho. And it says in verse 15, and it came to pass, Joshua 6:15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day, encompassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You know what they did? Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city. You know what? Who knows what God can do if just some of His children are ready to cry out about the great goodness of God. The walls of the devil, you and I, we may not realize it because we don't see it, but the devil's trying to build up as much walls to protect his domain as possible. Look at our country, look at the political system, look at all these things that he's trying to protect things so that if you go against something that's sin, you're a hater. You're not tolerant. And so he's trying to grab in and take all this stuff. Well, what if we were not afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to cry it out with some passion, and let God do what He will with those spiritual walls to come down? But people need to be ready to cry out. God called Jonah and said, I need you to arise, go, and cry. Why? Because the wickedness is great. Let's look at that part next. Let's go back to Jonah 1. This is an interesting thing. As we talked about on Wednesday, that it certainly seemed, as we look through the historical accounts of the city of Nineveh and all of the Syrian Empire, really, that God was preparing the people of Nineveh for Jonah. As years went by, if you weren't here Wednesday, we talked about how there is an eclipse as something that really disturbs these people to their souls, to thinking some bad things are going to come. There was a revolt. There was plague. There was more revolts. For years these things went on, and they were primed and ready to hear a message from God. So this had gone on for some time. Well, why does it say in verse 2, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me? They were always really wicked. We talked in week 1 about some of the horrible tortures they would do to people, what they would do to children. Their wickedness had been there for a long, long time. But here's the thing. You know, we see our country, we see this world. There's not a day that goes by that I don't hear something new coming out from the countries in Europe near about where we used to live, just how terrible some of the things have been gotten to where it's not anything like it was when we had moved there 10 years ago. It's gotten way more sinful, all these type of things. And it grieves to hear. And we might say to God, God, look at all this wickedness. Don't you see this? Of course God sees it. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He allowed this wickedness to go on for a while because He was getting things ready so that they would be ready to hear the word from the Lord. And you know what? We might say, God, this country needs you. This country needs you. God says, I know. The cry of wickedness has come up to me. I need somebody to go to cry against them and tell them about my son, Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to tell God how wicked the place is. We need to be ready to tell them about how good God is. Not just complain to God about how wicked it is. God's not surprised. He sees it. I mean, the wickedness has been going on for years, generations. Yet now it is in Jonah that God calls to one man and said, listen, I need you to go because the wickedness has come up before me. It's so great. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Now, the sad thing is, it's not a sure thing that, I mean, Jonah, he had something amazing that he cried out with a message of judgment, and the people repented, and they came They cleaned everything up before God. How many people have ever been downtown Rochester and passed out tracts? How many people have ever had that happen? No. You know, in the time of Charles Finney, after he left here having preached revival meetings, the jails stayed empty for 6 months. 6 months. Because of the preaching and what happened in the hearts of the men and women of our city, Rochester. That doesn't happen all the time. Certainly hasn't happened in my lifetime in Rochester. So we go out to cry and tell other people about Jesus Christ, and we share the good news of Jesus, but it doesn't mean that we're going to have the same result that Jonah had. Look at what Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." So God was looking for somebody to send. And Isaiah, "I'm here, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." You know what he's telling them? Go cry, and then so that they won't hear you. Go cry out, and they're going to block it off. Can you imagine if for a preacher, if I get up in the pulpit and God says, "I want you to preach today, and keep preaching until nobody listens and nobody wants to hear anymore." I mean, it's possible, you know. But to do that, what preacher wants to stand up and preach with the purpose of people shutting them out? I don't want that. Isaiah's all fired up and ready to go. "I'll go. All right, where am I going?" You're going to go and preach to them until they don't want to hear it anymore. And they're going to block it out so that they don't receive it. Look at his question to God. Verse 11. Then said I, "Lord, how long?" Poor guy. Nobody else was stepping up to do it. He steps up. And God tells him, "You're going to cry out, and nobody's going to hear. Nobody's going to receive." "How long do I do that for, God?" God answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Do it until the land is destroyed, Isaiah. What a hard thing. Why would God do that? Because there needed to be somebody to cry out the great message of God. Whether they hear, whether they forbear, that's on them. Our job is to go and cry out. This country needs people, men, women, and children, who are willing to tell them, "Listen, God loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sin and mine." God is looking for people who are willing to arise, go, and cry out that message. Will America repent and come to God? I don't know. But I know that God just wants somebody that will go out and do that. That they would never have excuse. I never thought that this would happen in this day, in my lifetime. That a people in America, I'm talking a lot of people, don't know anything about God. Never used to be like that. Never. I'd go out in the streets in Rochester to talk to people and say, "Can I tell you about Jesus Christ?" And everybody knew that name. There are people 20 years old and under that don't know who Jesus Christ is. Only to be that of a swear word. They don't know. And I've told some people, "Oh, you don't know about..." This is a great story. He came down from the throne of heaven to be crucified, to be hung up and killed by His own creation. And you see people's face like, what? I've had some people say, they kind of start looking sad and say, "Why would He do that?" Because He loves you. The Bible says in the end times, love of many will wax cold. This is something people don't understand, is love like that. People need to be ready to cry out and tell people, "There is somebody that loves you more than anybody else. that gave His own life for you. They don't understand love like that. They grew up in loveless world, a loveless nation, where love means selfishly, what can I get? Not somebody gave Himself for you and for me. But somebody has to cry it out. Because the noise of this world is so high, so loud. Just going in, there's this place in Thessaloniki. Every September they have the international fair, and they bring all these vendors in. They have a host country they pick. Last time we were there, the country was United Arab Emirates. And so they have people coming in from Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and they're doing all these business things. They have the flags of the UAE all over the city. They're having Emirati food and all this type of stuff. And it's a huge, huge thing. Well, every night, everybody goes into the expo center. And so I go out there with gospel tracks, and I'm tracking everybody I possibly can. And there's 20 other people passing out flyers for their business, for their thing they're trying to sell, for whatever they're trying to do. You know what? People walk down. They're not even looking. Because it's just like, okay, I might as well just take it all. And they're going to throw it in the trash or something. Maybe look through it later. But if we are just another person telling somebody about something like Amway, why would anybody want to stop and hear? They may not want it. But God needs people who will cry out. Stop people in their tracks and say, hey, I've got some good news for you today I want to share. I'll tell you what, there's our religions around this world who are not ashamed to cry out their religion. There's one religion in particular that has zero shame in crying out their allegiance to God, their God, as they kill people, as they kill innocents, in an effort for what they believe is to guarantee themselves a place in paradise. They're killing them all, their own selves. They're killing other people. And they're crying out about glory to God. And we sometimes can't open our mouths to share just one thing about Jesus Christ with somebody else. And I'm talking to me too. It disrupts our lives sometimes. It gets in the way of just the way we go through life. Life today is so much that we don't even have to interact with people for a lot of things. I mean, I've not been in one of these. I don't know that I ever will. I love technology stuff, but these self-driving car things, I've seen people, they're not supposed to do it, but they do it anyway. They're sitting in the passenger seat reading a book while the car drives. You're like, this is not right, you know. But people are so used to not having to interact or deal with people on any level now. For somebody to cry out and stop them in their tracks and say, I've got a message for you. I want something. I don't know you. You don't know me. But I just have to tell you something amazing today about what God did for this world. Something. Because the cry of wickedness has come up to God. He's willing to send. Are we willing to cry out? Are we willing to have the passion to tell somebody, I have the answer for the sin problem that's in this world? It's amazing. Sin is other people's stuff, right? I mean, you have people that commit some horrific crimes. People will murder people, do all sorts of things. But then there's other crimes of like, oh, that, they're going to go to hell for that. Like, you killed 10 people. They don't look at themselves as being as bad. We're all like that. And what we do, we don't look at. What people do, they don't look at as sin. But when people see this, what you do, what I do, it offends God. God is so holy. And thank God He is, because that's where I want to be for all eternity, is with the holy God. That our sin can't enter into heaven because of His holiness. We fall short of God's glory. And so He sent down a mediator to reach between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you wanting to tell somebody about that? I know we do. I'm not saying people don't. But you know what? The time is getting short. time is coming close in this world. The wickedness has come up before God, and God says, I'll send somebody to go, but will you cry out? Look at Jonah 1, and we'll be through this morning. Jonah 1. I love the nature of God and His planning and His order and how He does things. I mean, just imagine Him having things play out as they did in for Assyria and Nineveh, and now He's going to go to His man Jonah. Arise, Jonah, go and cry. He knows what Jonah's going to do, but he needs somebody to go, and he's picked this man, this person, to carry this message. And look at verse 3. But God's called each of us to arise, to go, and to cry. Or but that follows that in our life. I pray that we would get over that, because this world, there's plenty of religions that will offer everybody a chance to do something on their own, to try to inherit something. And it's all a lie. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. Because if we could work our way to heaven, we would all have a reason to boast in heaven about why we were good enough to get to heaven. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The Bible says it's for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is not the old paths religion. This is not joining our church. This is not me trying to tell you what I believe on. This is the Word of God. Jason, why don't we come? We'll have a song. And maybe this morning, you've heard this before. I'm sure with this many people in a single room today, there have to be at least a few that have never personally trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You've heard this morning about how God's looking for people that will cry out about that message. The good news of Jesus Christ. That's what gospel means, the good news. And it is so good. You realize that without it, you will go to hell for your sins. Because if somebody has to pay a punishment, and Jesus did that for us. But if you do not take that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to pay it in hell, in the lake of fire for all eternity. Eternity, that's a long time. Even one day in the lake of fire would feel like too much. But without Jesus Christ, it's in eternity. On the flip side, He did this because He wants us in heaven with Him. Can you imagine? God of heaven wants you and me with Him for all eternity. If we're picking people to spend eternity with, I don't know that we pick each other. But God says, I want as many as can. I don't want anyone to perish. I want everyone to come to repentance. And you can do that today, not by any good works, not by joining this church, not by getting baptized, but by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, I pray that you would come down and see me after the service or see somebody else here today. And we'll talk you through, show you through the Bible, not my words, but the Bible words, God's words, how you can know for sure today that if you were to die, you will go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. Those of us who have trusted Him as Savior, how many people here have been saved for more than 20 years? You know what happens? That old story sometimes gets a little older and we don't tell it as much as we might have used to. I know that's the same. That's been the case with me. Hopefully it's this morning, this reminder to cry out about it. Not just to tell somebody, but to do it with some passion, some desire to see somebody come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say in here sometimes, well, people just don't get saved like they used to. Well, maybe we don't share it quite like we used to. We'll stand and sing a song. If you need to talk to the Lord, you can do it in your pew. You can do it up here. But let's ask God to help us to get more of a passion. Arise, go, and cry. 636.